Thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. You can be seated this morning. It's so great to be here in the house of the Lord. If you're joining us online, we do have a number of folks that have called in and said there's sickness in their family or they're just staying home because of conditions and all of the others. I guess we should all be used to this by now, I would hope. But we're starting off this morning, and I'm excited about this. If you have children, you checked your children in. You should have been getting a little book for your devotional book for your kids. And for you that are here at the end of the service, the ushers will be passing out your weekly devotional. And you'll be able to pick that up on your way out here. But we're starting this morning, God's Word for Life. We've talked about this in the month of December. And I'm very excited about this. And been working and studying and we're getting into this morning. How many of you have ever made a promise? How many of you, like, made New Year's resolutions this year? Anybody here? I mean, that's kind of, it used to be a really big thing, and then it kind of faded away a little bit. And I like to make resolutions. I don't really call them resolutions. I guess I really... I go more into New Year's goals or promises, perhaps. But we've entered into 2022. Today we're going to talk about receiving the promise. Receiving the promise. Many of us, maybe we've made New Year's resolutions, and perhaps maybe you've made one of those that says that you're going to lose weight again. That's one of those that just every year it's like a gimme, you know. It's like you're going to breathe, you know. So you kind of lose, going to exercise more. You put that down, and my wife and I, we've had these conversations, and I'm like, I don't even want to have these anymore. We're going to exercise. We're going to read our Bibles. We're going to pray more this year, and we make all sorts of promises, don't we? And we write them down, we look at the end of the first week and we're like, whoa, I did 6 out of 10 this week. 4 of them have already crashed and burned. But for the most part, we make all sorts of promises. But for the most part, we've really, to be honest with you, if you're honest with yourself and if you want to grow in life, you have to personally be honest with yourself. You have to look at yourself in the mirror sometimes. And we've really become professional at making promises. And when the time comes, we struggle to keep our end of the bargain. And I remember I made a promise to a friend of mine who teaches. He's a quite proficient. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Now, if you can believe this, that Pastor Roy and Sister Lois started taking jiu-jitsu classes. So when we get into those arguments from time to time, I've got some methods. I'm just joking a little bit. But we went through months and months of this and such, and we made promises, and then after a while it's like, well, we can't make it this week, and we can't make it, and then we had some things come up and life happens, and well, we're no longer doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Although I would love to get back into it, it's just, you see, we struggle at times. We make a promise. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And we went out and we got the equipment. We got the punching bag and we got the mitts and all of that stuff, and we would practice, and it felt really good. But then after a while, the punching bags in the back of the closet collecting dust, the mitts, I've got no idea where they went to. But you see, we struggle sometimes to keep up our end of a bargain, whether it's exercise, whether it's diet, whether it's reading our Bibles and praying more. But you see, we also make promises to God. And have you ever promised God something at an altar when you're praying and God is just really dealing with you, and you say, God, I promise that I'll do anything if you just help me through this situation. And we say that in all sincerity, but then within a few days, we've kind of, God comes through, and we quickly forget sometimes, don't we, what we promise to God. And ever been on the other end of a broken promise? Somebody ever make a promise to you and say, I promise. I remember, this was years ago, and I guess the reason it sticks out in my mind is I was probably 13, maybe 14 years old, and had a friend here that after church on a Sunday morning, a bunch of young people were all going to get together and go out to the mall and have pizza and going to go ice skating and get something to eat, going to go to Tenney Park. And I was so excited about this. And they're like, I promise I'll pick you up. And they told me what time they would pick me up. And I sat there at the door and had everything ready, my skates and had all my gloves and hat. And I was waited, and an hour goes past when they were supposed to be there, and then 2 hours go past, and 3 hours. Now, this was before texting and all of that kind of stuff. And I know this is really simple, not really that big of a broken promise, but remember how disappointed I was that they never showed up at my house. They all went to the mall, and they all went skating, and I just felt so like, what's wrong with me? How come you didn't pick me up? And the disappointment. And sometimes I begin to think about this. You ever wonder how God feels when we make a promise to him? We promise him, God, I promise, Lord, you can depend on me. I got this, God. I got this. You've helped me. I've got this. And then sometimes we just plain old forget. We put it off, and we never really come through. So this morning, what's one of the most important promises that anyone has made to you and actually kept? Anybody here have a promise that someone made to you and they kept that promise and it's still strong in your mind today? And we all have those. The Bible is full of God's promises to humanity. And it's also full of man's broken promises to a God. And when we look at these promises, we're talking about receiving the promise here this morning. God has promised us so many things. And we're going to look at one of these great promises today, because God's promises come through. His promises, Scripture says, are yea and amen. God comes through when he promises something. And a lot of it has to do with our ability to believe and our degree of faith. So we're going to start reading this morning in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and all families of the earth be blessed. This is a very potent promise, isn't it? God is basically telling Abram, this was before his name was changed to Abraham, telling Abraham that, listen, if you follow me, if you get out of this country, leave your family, leave your house, leave your father's house into a land that I'm going to show you, so you have no idea where you're going, Abraham, but I'm going to show you, and there in that land, in that country, away from family, friends, comfort, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing, and I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse them that... I got your back, Abraham. So what God is telling him, this is a very powerful, powerful. So no doubt that day, like any other day, if God would have spoke to you, you wake up, you get dressed, and back then they were living nomadic type lives as shepherds and such, and he opens up his tent flap, and like most of us, he's got to have his cup of coffee in the morning, so he's got his cup of coffee, and he stands out there, and he stretches as the sunlight is piercing through, and it's such a nice, beautiful, warm day, and he's like, what am I going to do today? What needs fixing on the old farm today? Need to fix some boards on the barn. The storm blew in, and Sarah and his wife had been living on this farm with his father for some time, and all of a sudden, Abraham hears a voice. And it's not like any voice he's ever heard before. Up until this point in time in his life, we don't ever find that God had spoken to Abram in any way, shape, or form. And he hears this voice, not for sure where it's coming from. And he looks around and he thought maybe somebody's pulling a joke on him. But it wasn't that way. It wasn't coming from the ground or around him. It was coming from up in the heavens somewhere. And here it is. It's God speaking. Put yourself in Abram's shoes. You don't really know the God. You may have heard of the God. You've never had an experience as of yet with this God. And all of a sudden, this God is telling you to pick up everything that you have and leave. What would you do if all of a sudden on your way home, you're riding home and you and your wife are sitting there and there's a third voice in the car that tells you to pull over to the side of the road, take the keys out of your car, the very next car that drives by, give it to them, sign the title over, walk home, give your house away, all your stuff away, and just start following this voice. Yeah. What was in your coffee this morning, Abraham? What did you have to eat before you went to bed? So we look at all of this. God spoke to him, and Abraham trusted God. God didn't give him a complete overall, said, get your atlas out, look at it, and this is where you're going to be in week one, and this is week two and week three, and now we're into year one and two. No, God just said, follow after my voice. Follow after my voice. So God asked Abraham to trust him. And so many times God asks us in our lives, I want you to follow me. We hear that voice. We hear that voice from God. It may not be an audible voice. It may be through a message or through something that we read, a scripture, a passage in prayer, and God speaks to us. We hear that voice, but we don't trust that voice, do we? That's just got to be honest here. We hear it, but we don't really trust it. God says, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. God's first command of leaving his homeland came coupled with a promise. Said, you leave your homeland, and I will make you a great nation. That must have been, no doubt, music to his ears. Abram, he looks at, he's just one man. He doesn't have any children. And God was going to multiply his influence. He's going to multiply his authority, and he's going to multiply his character and his abilities and make him a great nation. It's one thing to start out as a mayor of a small city. You look at politicians today, presidents and such, so many of them start off in small, little, menial tasks, maybe working as a clerk at a town hall, and they become the town chairman, and then they get on the county board, and then they become the board supervisor, and then they become the county supervisor, and then they become the mayor, and then they become an alderman, and then a mayor, and then it's a progression up, and next thing you know, they're running for governor. You look at this, and their influence is being multiplied. And Abraham looked, no doubt, and saying, someday, Sarah, it's just you and me right now, but someday, if we trust God and we follow after this promise, God said he's going to make out of us a great nation. The people of this world, this earth, are going to be blessed because of this promise. So we look at this. God promises Abraham, I will make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. How many of you are blessed this morning? You know why we're blessed? Can I tell you why we're blessed? We're blessed because God made a promise to Abraham. And we may not be a direct descendant of him physically, but we're a direct descendant of that promise spiritually. So God made a promise, and he's still coming through on that promise. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Where was all this coming from? Why were all these promises coming to Abraham? Why was God using? God was looking for a man. God was looking for a man in which he could bless. And he wanted to bless humanity. But he's looking for a man to bless others, and he chose Abram. I believe today God is looking across Calvary Gospel Church. He's looking across his kingdom, and he's saying, who can I trust with a blessing? Who can I trust with a blessing? Because God, just as God's plan was in the beginning, to bless Abraham so he could bless others, God wants to use us as he used Abraham to bless others. God's blessings, we have to understand this, God's blessings are not just for us and us alone. They're for everyone. And when God blesses us in a service, it's not just only for us to enjoy. When God gives us financial blessings, it's not just for us to pad our own pockets. God fills us with his Spirit, and he pours into us, into others, and gives them a taste of what it's like to have a Spirit-filled life and to be a Spirit-led child of God. Just as it would have been wrong for Abraham to hoard all of God's blessings for himself and not share them with the world, so it is for us as well today. God wants to use you, and he wants to use me to bless others. And we need to understand, we need to listen. We talked about this a little bit at the end of our prayer meeting on Friday night. We need to keep our ears open so we can hear God's voice and open up our hands, open up our hearts to receive God's blessings and to receive and share the goodness that God gives to us. So here we have Abraham. He leaves his homeland. God told him to leave his home and his relatives. So they packed up. We don't find anywhere in the scripture where Abraham questioned. He didn't put a fleece out like Gideon put a fleece out. He did not say, Sarah, let's pray about this and fast about this for 30 days. No, they packed up things as quickly as they could, and they were gone. So you have to look at this. Sarah perhaps was a little bit apprehensive, and Abraham could hardly contain himself because he was excited about this new venture. And God's going to make us a great nation. Where are we going, Abraham? Don't worry about it, Sarah. God spoke to me. Now we can put this in practical terms that we can all understand a little bit. Imagine it's vacation day. The Polk family's all ready to go. And Megan says, where are we going, Scott? Got no idea, hon. Where are we staying on the road tonight? Or got no idea. Are we going to Florida? Not for sure. Well, are we going on vacation? Yep, we're going on vacation. What are we going to do? Have no idea. I mean, can you imagine having this conversation? My wife and I took one vacation like that in our lives. We had a blast. We just left. Where are we going? Don't know. We knew we wanted to end up in Arizona at the Grand Canyon, but we had no idea where, how, and it was so much fun. But you see, here, they're leaving for life, not just vacation. Everything's packed up. They're ready to go. Abraham said he's going to tell us where to go. He's going to make us a great nation, sweetheart. Can you believe this? Now, for me, if I went home this afternoon and I told Sister Lois that we're leaving and we're moving and we don't know where we're going to, pack everything you can into the camper and we're off, it probably is going to be a little bit of a hard sell. But you see, Abraham believed it, and so did Sarah. And they set off on their journey. But in all of this, as much as Abraham believed, as much as Sarah believed, Abraham did not totally, and this is very, very critical when it comes to following after God's promise. So we got to understand, Abraham didn't totally obey God, did he? He said, leave your land, leave your family, leave your household, and go where just you and Sarah go. But Abraham fully trusted God because he went, but he didn't fully obey God because God's command was clear. Leave your father's house and your father's family. But Lot had a nephew. He had that favorite nephew. And he's like, you know what? I think maybe nephew Lot should come along with us. So Abraham invited Lot to come along. So they loaded everything up. It wasn't long into their journey that the herdsman begins to argue and feud with each other. We can read this story for ourselves in Genesis chapter 13. And Abraham suggested that they split up. He gives Lot the first choice. Where do you want to go, Lot? And we read in Genesis 13, verse 12, that Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. We read the tragic story of Lot, and it really could have all been avoided if Abraham would have really followed what God told him to do. Lot would have been spared a tremendous... You see, God saw the flaws, deep flaws in Lot. Abraham had flaws as well. So Lot eventually, he moves his family into Sodom. It's not too long. We don't hear about this real often in the scripture. We don't read about it much, but the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah were going to, they were coming under attack by some other neighboring kings, and Lot was caught in the crossfire, and Sodom and Gomorrah was attacked, and Lot and his family were all carried off as prisoners of war. So what happens? Lot has to get together. His herdsmen became swordsmen, and he has to go off and he has to fight this battle with the kings. And all of this was all things that Abraham brought upon himself because he didn't fully follow God's command. He trusted God. So maybe you're at that point today where that you're trusting God. You trust God, but you're not really doing everything God is telling you to do or asking of you to do. So as a result of this, Abraham bails out Lot. What does Lot do? Lot doesn't learn his lesson. He goes right straight back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Next thing, an angel appears, and God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And two angels are sent to rescue Lot on Abraham's behalf, and Lot and his daughters escape. His wife perishes. But you see, that's the last we hear of Lot. But Abraham began to trust God more, began to follow after God at a whole different level. When it comes to receiving God's promises, there are often conditions that must be met. We have to obey God completely, not just partially. So maybe sometimes you say, well, you know what, God, you've made me these promises, and I'm not seeing these promises take place. What is it in your life? You see, God doesn't grade obedience on a curve. Okay? Partial obedience in God's eyes, partial obedience is still disobedience. So up until this time in Abram's life, God couldn't fully bless Abram the way he wanted to bless Abram because Abram was still living in partial disobedience. God says, I want just you and Sarah. And had this lot thing. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You see, partial belief, partial obedience is still disobedience. Partial belief is unbelief. Half truth is not truth. But we live in a world today, don't we, that we really feel that, well, I'm partially obeying. God says, this is what I want you to do, J. Henry. And J. Henry says, well, Lord, I'm doing as much of it as I can, but I can't do this. No. That's not what I'm telling you, Jay. You ever have these conversations with God like this? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. I don't argue with God, but I disagree with God sometimes. Sister Ellen Hopped, when she came in, she caught a tail end of a conversation, and she talked about God's word always understanding, well, I just quipped back real quick and said, well, not always. I don't always understand God's word. I read it and I try my best. But sometimes there's just parts of me that when God says, I want all of you, there's parts of me that doesn't want to give all. And we all struggle. God is not impressed. Hear me now, okay? God is not impressed when we're 99% obedient to him. Because it's always that one little percent, that lot factor in our lives, isn't it? God kept all the promises, every promise he made to Abraham, God kept. But Abraham ended up, listen to me, Abraham ended up fighting battles that he was not supposed to fight. And we're no different. 4,000 plus years later, we're still fighting. God has made promises, and we're still fighting battles God never intended for us to fight. And if God had full, or if Abraham had obeyed God fully, he would have avoided so many unnecessary battles and so many unnecessary heartaches. So we, too, must obey God completely. You see, God is not erratic. He doesn't just bark out orders to watch us sweat it out. God is very, very purposeful and methodic in things in our lives. And as a good father, he knows what's best for us only because he knows what is directly ahead of us. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We don't know what's going to happen this evening in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God knows. So when God speaks to you, the next time you hear his voice, don't argue with him. Follow him. Obey him. He speaks to us through his word. It may be speaking to you this morning through this lesson, through the preaching, through a song. And sometimes, yes, he speaks to us in our prayer time if we are willing to listen in our prayer time. So Abraham received God's promise, and that was a promise by faith. God spoke again and again and again and reminded Abraham of the promise that he had made him 24 years earlier in his life. So we're fast forwarding. We're 24 years into Abraham's journey. And God says, Abraham, Sarah, you're going to have a son. Yeah, right. Before they knew it, this was before ultrasounds and all kinds of modern. They didn't believe it. They laughed. Before they knew it, Sarah was starting to show, and Abraham went to work just as God promised. And when God promises something, God follows through. And they find themselves sitting in their tent holding a little baby boy they named Isaac. You see, they receive God's promise by faith. Why? Because God, our faithful God, keeps his promises. So we have to ask ourselves this question today. Will we receive God's promises by faith? Well, it can be a very tricky tightrope in which we walk on. Because you have to understand, you can fall off a tightrope on either side. Sometimes as people, we can confuse laziness with faith. I have to be honest with you. Faith, if I could put it this way, faith can be very fickle at times, can it be? God makes us a promise, and then we settle into doing nothing, thinking God's going to do everything. God promised this. God's going to do it. God's got this. I've heard this many, many times. Well, God said he's got it. God's got it. I'm not going to worry about it. I've said that before, but I still worry about it. I've said that before, and I still try to figure it out. You see, we like to call it waiting on God. I've heard this. I'm just waiting on the Lord. How long have you been waiting? 25 years. Are you doing anything in the meantime? Nope. I'm just waiting on God. God's going to come through. You sure about that? Did God ask you to do? See, there was conditions in this promise. There's conditions in this. Abraham had a lot of conditions, a lot of things he had to meet. So we like to call it waiting on God, and God is waiting on us to do what we can do. Until then, he will do what we cannot do. Did you get that? If God promised he's going to save your family, that doesn't mean you just sit there, never have any contact with your family, never sow any seeds with your family, never do any of that, waiting on him. So we have a part in all of this. Start praying for them. Share your testimony. Share God's goodness. And then watch God do what you cannot do. You see, Abraham didn't have this problem. He fell off the tightrope on the other side. Him and Sarah, he tried to speed up God's process, didn't he? 11 years after God spoke to him he was going to have a son, Abraham felt that that's long enough to wait. I don't have to wait any longer. I can't wait any longer. So a decade's gone by plus 1 year, and I'm going to have this son. So maybe God had a different plan. So his wife says, well, you got this good-looking servant, Lady Hagar. Maybe that's what God meant. I am sure Abraham scratched his head on that one. You sure about this, Sarah? Well, it's not happening for me. Look at me, Abraham. I'm 75, 80 years old. It ain't going to happen here. Maybe God had something else in mind. That was not what God's intention was. So as far as Abraham knew, he and Sarah were supposed to have a bouncing baby boy. So he's walking this tight road of faith. And what does he do? He falls off on the other side of the tightrope. They have a son, Ishmael. Well, God was right when he said, you're going to be the father of nations and many nations. When you look at Ishmael, Isaac was the father of the Jewish nations, and Ishmael, he's the father of the Arab nations. When's the last time you've seen the Jews and the Arabs get along? This is just history, folks. It's not political science, it's history. This battle has been going on for 4,500 years simply because God said, this is what I want you to do. Follow after me. Abraham trusted God almost all the way, but he didn't quite obey God. You see this coming in here? Abraham, you see, he didn't have the benefit of the Bible like we do. But because of Abraham's disobedience, his family, they are both descendants of Abraham. They've been feuding for 4,000 plus years. You see, we can look at the rest of the story. We have the benefit of looking at the rest of the story. Abraham did not. You see, we see God doing mighty things in our life. We see him as he shuts the mouths of lions, and we read in his word where he He touches the lepers. He heals the sick. He forgives the sinners. He makes the lame. Genesis 18:14 said, is anything too hard for God? And this is the question that God asked Abraham. And it's a question that we still ask, is there anything too hard for you, Lord? Is anything too hard? God, this promise that you made to me 25 years ago seems to be impossible. So maybe we're sitting here today and we're saying, how does all of this, how does Abraham, how does that promise that was made 4,000 plus years ago apply to me today? How do I apply that? How do I receive that today? Well, I'll tell you this, you're going to have to leave your native country, you're going to have to leave your family, your friends, all of that stuff, and you're going to have to start out on a journey, traveling with just you and God. You buy that? Some of you look at me like, that's really what God is asking us to do, isn't he? Family, forsake family. Are you willing to forsake family? Are you willing to forsake friends? How far do you want to get into this promise? You see, God's still telling us, I want to bless you. I want you to be a blessing to others, but you have to follow after me. This was God's promise to Abraham. So we look at God's promise to Abraham. 9 more chapters of space go between the time that God made his promise until the time that God performed his promise. And just as sure as God kept the promise he made to Abraham by faith, he is going to make those promises to us today. So I ask this question here as we close this out. Has God ever made you a promise? God ever made you a promise? And you're still waiting on that promise? There's a lot of promises. There's a lot of things I feel in my heart that, yes, God, you promised this. I know you promised. I wrote this down. I wrote it down. And God, I'm still waiting on this. This is hard sometimes. This is difficult, very difficult sometimes. Listen, if you're waiting for God to give you an apology or an explanation on why you're waiting, forget about it, okay? God doesn't owe us anything. I've said, God, what's up with this, Lord? Are you not going to, your scripture says, is there anything too, is this too hard for you, God? What am I doing? That's what we need to ask ourselves. It's not, God, why is the promise taking too long? It's we need to ask ourselves, Lord, am I doing, am I waiting for the wrong thing? Did I miss something here? If God has promised you something, all you need to do is what God told Abraham to do, and that is walk before the Lord and trust him. We don't have so much a problem with walking. We have a serious issue with trusting. You see, he will not apologize for his promise, and he will perform his promise. We read in the scripture, 1 Kings 8:56. There has not failed one word of all his good promise. We need to ask and remember. Nothing wrong with asking that probing question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God asked Abraham to answer that. Is there anything too hard, Abraham? Is there anything in your life, any of the issues you're dealing with right now, Abraham, are they too difficult for me to handle? So we need to ask God to let us know if there's anything that we should be doing while we are waiting. There's a lot of things Abraham had to do. 25 years passed from when God first promised him to when God began to come through and he was able to start to see the fruits of God's promise. So if we could stand this morning. At times that we live in today, so many things are changing around us. Our world is changing literally by the day. how our world was last week is not the same this week, and it won't be the same next week. But we can always ask God that question. Is there anything too hard for you, Lord? And we will find out exactly what Abraham found out. But we have to fast forward all the way to Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Paul writes, what God has promised, he is able also to perform. You believe that this morning? You believe that? Receiving the promise, every one of us, God has promised things to us. It's a faith journey, church. And it begins with walking, and it begins with trusting. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this word. God, I'm glad I didn't have to go through what Abraham had to go through. But Lord, what an example that this great patriarch of faith has given to us today. Lord, I pray, God, that each and every one of us today would take, and as we begin, or as we already are continuing into this year, Lord, our faith journey, God, we may have already had broken promises we've made that we've already broken, but God, there's nothing too hard for you, God, and what you have promised, Lord, your word tells us you are able to perform. Lord, I make promises, God, that I just cannot come through on all the time. But God, I pray, Lord, for this congregation as we begin our faith journey, our walk in faith, this promise, receiving this promise, that your hand would be upon each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Lead us, guide us, direct us, keep us on the path. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you have children in the children's wing, feel free to go pick them up. And we also have our devotions. Our ushers have those devotions. And make sure you get, there's 5 pages of devotion, one for every day of the week. And we will see you back here at 11 o'clock. God bless you.